every day is Saturday at Casinos USA. Hi, everyone. This is Coach Fab for Casinos USA Podcast, and welcome to our February 2025 podcast, episode 168, Dice Advice at the Pinnacle Level. At the pinnacle level? At the highest level possible. And this dice advice goes out to all those craps experts out there who know it all. After you listen to this one, you're going to know even a little more. Okay, hang on for that. And Janie's going to talk about five New Year's resolutions that anyone who plays slot machines should make. Five of them. Oh, are they important? Okay, we'll be right back and start the show.
Why are you the way that you are? Honestly, every time I try to do something fun or exciting, you make it not.
Well, okay, I guess we're going to make it a little better than what you might think. All right. And of course, I kid, you know, people who say they play craps, you make the assumption, well, they know everything, right? And sometimes you know everything, but you don't want to talk about it, right? Especially while the game's being played with the person standing beside you who asks you, why are you betting that way? Can't do it. Can't talk about it right here. Just can't do it. But let's start with this. You know, understand the pass line and the don't pass line. And of course, the pass line on a come out roll, 7-11 wins and 2-3-12 loses. And we're going to start this craps at the pinnacle level by placing money on both the don't pass and the pass line. The don't pass, of course, loses on a 7-11 and wins on a 2-3 and pushes on a 12. So you don't have to play both. You can just play one or the other. But I think most of us have been in a situation where you start playing the don'ts and you get a lot of come out sevens and you lose, you know? So this, when I tell you to play both, the pass line and the don't pass line, I'm telling you that's one way to get past this come out roll thing. But I'm going to insist, and of course I'm telling you you can do it your way, but I'm going to make some comments where I insist. Let's say you have $10 or $15 on each line. Well, you really have nothing as far as the come out roll, 7-11, 2-3-12, because if one wins, the other one loses, so you're even. But I'm going to tell you to always place the 12 for $1. Why wouldn't you? It pays $30, 30 to 1, right? So the feeling you have when you're on the don'ts or when you're playing what I'm talking about, money on both the pass line and the don't pass line, and a 12 comes up, you go, oh, damn. You know, Coach Fab was right. Why don't I put a dollar on that? Okay, so let's start with, you know, a $15 bet on the pass line, a $15 bet on the don't pass line, and a dollar on the 12. Well, occasionally you're going to run into a system where someone is hedging the come out roll by laying a number. And generally speaking, those numbers are either 4 or 10. So consider this. If you wanted to win on a 7, not just break even, and let's say you go $40 laying the 4. So you're betting that a 7 will be rolled before a 4. And so when someone rolls a 7 on the come out, it's obviously rolled before a 4 is rolled. And so you collect one half of $40, you pay a dollar fee, of course, and you get $20. Well, really, it's $19 after the fee. Some casinos collect the money before the roll, some only when you win, right? So that's what we're talking about here. So there's a lot of systems that you can lay a number, and it's for protection against a 7. You can use this system and go one step further. You want to talk about protection, man? Well, what if you hopped a 4, let's say for $2, all right? So if a 4 is rolled on the come out, and I'm talking about hopping the hard 4, you would win $60. You would lose your $40 lay bet, right? And the pass line and the don't pass line that you bet on equally would just, you know, wipe out each other, you know, and you'd lose a dollar on a 12 bet. So you would win $18, right? Or $19. if a four was rolled, a regular four, you would lose. Right. So the bet is, if you hop a $2 hard four and lay a four, you're betting that you're going to get either a hard four or a seven before you roll a 3-1-1-3. You know, that's how it's working. And that becomes a hedge. And, you know, Jeremy Ellerich has just discovered the power of this hedge, because he is he's laying numbers, but not on the come out, on the next roll. Come on, Jeremy. Do it my way sometime. No, Jeremy's a great guy. So I'm happy that he's, you know, exploring this idea of laying numbers to hedge what else is going on that you got going on. All right. So you must remember that you can take a hedge bet down when it's a lay bet anytime. Right? Doesn't cost you a thing. You just say, hey, I'm down on it. Now, most mathematicians would say, well, why would you do that? If the come out roll was already over and you lay the four, why would you do that? Because now the math is on your side. You know that it's much more likely that a seven will roll before a four rolls. But that's up to you. If you just wanted to use it to get by the come out roll and you wanted to make some money on a seven, there you go. Lay the four, lay the 10, and then hop it. If it's a four, you're laying, hop it for $2. Or if it's a 10, hop it for $2. There we go. A hop bet means it's one roll gig. You know, it's a one roll gig, right? Pays 30-1. Okay. Well, we just are getting started. Let me catch my breath. Okay. So this is how your table looks. You have equal amounts of money on the pass line and the don't pass line. It's a come out roll. You have $1.12, and you may or may not have laid a number, a four or a 10. And you may or may not have hopped that four or that 10. So that would be, you know, two twos, two fives on the hop. All right. So what do we do from here? Well, if you did this, I guarantee you that I'm just going to be random with this. A large number of people at the table would have no idea what the hell you were doing, right? Because remember, we're talking about the pinnacle level player, where you can use the nuances of craps to do you some good, to help you win some money. You can also win a lot of money by never doing these things. But if you play a lot, sometimes it makes sense to go into this kind of a system. Now, again, if you don't want to deal with the come out roll, you make your lay bet after a number has been established. We're not talking about it, doing it that way, but if that's what you want to do, you can do it that way. Also, if a seven is rolled, remember, you didn't lose anything but the $1.12 bet on the come out, because the other two balance each other out. What you can do is you can hop the sevens, you know, for $3. They pay 15-1. So maybe you're wanting a series, you know. So now you have 15 on the pass line, 15 on the don't pass line. You have $1.12, and you're going to throw $3 on hop the sevens. If another seven is rolled, you win 13, right? Because you lose the two numbers of the sevens that you didn't get. You win $13, and you just say, hey, well, hop at $3. So then you would win 26. And here's what's happening, man. You know, you're looking for a sequence of sevens if you're doing that, all right? So let's do it. Let's have some fun. We're going to roll a seven. We just lose the $1.12, but we hop the sevens to $3. All right. You hop the reds is officially the way you say it. Hop the reds. So it hits, right? So now you press it to $6 and you still do the other things. Okay. So another seven is rolled. You win 26. Whoa. All right. So you hop it. Excuse me. You push it up to nine. You say, hop the reds for $9. Okay. Oh, and you roll a 12, or someone rolled a 12. All right. So you lose that bet. You lose the hop the sevens bet, the hop the reds bet, but you win $30 on the 12. So, I mean, again, you're at the pinnacle level. I mean, we're like, what the hell is this guy doing, man? Well, we're not done yet. If the established point is a six or an eight, someone rolled a dice on the come out. You have money now on the don't pass line, and you have money on the pass line. The money on the pass line is a contract bet. You cannot touch it. You can play odds with it, but you can't take it off. You can't remove it. The don't pass line, remember, you can take off, but then the question always is, well, why would you? You know, because the math's on your side. But here's what I'm suggesting. At the pinnacle level, let's do this. Let's place the 8 if the 6 was the established point, and now you have a 6 and 8. And let's play odds on the pass line. And that's backing up to 6. And you made a place bet on the 8. There you go. What do you do with the don't pass line? Because now you have $18 on the 8, and you have $15 odds, let's say. You can go 10 odds on the 8. Let's make it 15. So now you got $33, okay? Well, what you can do is you can put an odds bet down on the don't pass line. And all you want to happen there is you want that 8 to hit, and then you're going to take the odds bet off the don't pass line. I hope you're following this. The established point was the 6, and you put odds on it on the pass line, and you place the 8 for $18, which would be the correct bet on a 6 or 8. It's increments of 6. Unless you're playing online craps, doesn't matter what you put down, the computer does it for you. So that's a chancy thing. The point I'm making is, if you're playing both the pass line and the don't pass line, and the number is 6 or 8, you can put odds on the 6 and 8 on the pass line. Don't do anything on the other one then, I don't care. But you can if you want to. All right, what if the number is 9 or 5? The established point is 9 or 5. Then I hope you grab onto this. Then you say, you know what? This is a cold table. I'm not going to bet against the 6 and 8, but I will bet against the 9 and 5. And so you put odds on the don't pass line. And for every 3 increments you put down, you win 2 back. It's not too bad. If the number is 10 or 4, I'm talking about the don't pass odds. If the number is 10 or 4, you say, hey, here's what I'm going to do. At the pinnacle level, I'm going to stick to the don't pass line. That's what I'm going to do. So the only bet that's really operating is the odds bet, because the 7 on the pass, the 7 will win on the pass line, right, on the come out roll. But it stays there if a number is established. So it's still there, and your come out amount on the don't pass line is still there. So those two kind of, they check each other. But it's the odds bet. You're choosing either to make a pass line bet on the 6 and 8, pass line odds on the 6 and 8, and then place the one that isn't there on the 9 or 5 or the 10 and 4. You're going to play don't pass odds. That's it. Don't pass odds. Now, what else can you do if that's not enough action for you because you're making decisions, decisions, decisions? Well, here's what you can do. If the number is a 9 or a 5, you can't do diddly, but if it's a 4 or 10, you could put some money on a hard 4 or a hard 10. That's kind of a hedge too. If it's rolled, you know, you're going to lose the don't pass line, but you can win the hard, you know, the hard way is bad. So there's a lot I threw at you there. Part of that system is something called Hammerlock Craps, which trended about 30 years ago. But what I like about this system, you know, I hate the term do-y don'ts, but if you're playing the pass line and the don't pass line, is this. It keeps you alert and active in the game. Again, you can just play regular straight craps, and you can play the pass line and it's a cold table and you get killed, man. You get killed. It's amazing how fast your money goes. Or you could just play the don't, and you're playing the don'ts, and come out sevens are killing you, man. So by playing both pass lines and throwing a dollar on a 12, and then hedging a number, if you want to, on the come out roll, that's really a big help. And if you want to leave it there after the come out roll, leave it there because the math's on your side. So these are comments and concerns. You can build a system around all these principles. Play it over again if you didn't get it. Draw a little craps table, a little craps field, and put these things down. But I play this way a lot. You know, I think sometimes it pisses off the dealers when you do it because they've never seen it before. But that's not, you know, you're not the entertainment business. You know what I mean? They're there to entertain you, man. You know, don't worry about it. Everything you do is legit. So at the pinnacle level, you understand all these concepts and you use them if you want to. And you don't when you don't want to. If things aren't working, start using them, you know? If things are working, don't change a thing till it stops working. I play the game of craps too much, all right? And I've won and won and won, and I've lost and lost and lost. But winning's much better than losing, right? So this system, whether you call it the hammer lock plus, the hammer lock flex, or you could say Coach Fab's insanity, whatever you want to do, it's up to you. And I wish you only the best. And if you see me at a craps table, I would say there's a 70% chance if you watch me play, at some point, you're going to see me do exactly what I said on this podcast. This was Dice Advice at the pinnacle level, not for beginners, but for experts. Okay, hope you enjoyed it. And we're going to prepare the studio for the arrival of Janie. Hey, you know, talk about luck. I want to talk to you people that don't live in Pennsylvania, because if you live in Pennsylvania, you know all about this. I'm coming to you from the Pittsburgh suburbs. Oh, these Pittsburgh people have this accent, right? First day of hunting, deer hunting, the Pennsylvania deer herd is way too big. These aren't like frontiersmen out there and Indians. These are, it's the 21st century, man. It's way too big. And so the first day of hunting, I was driving on a four-lane highway, 55 miles an hour, yours truly, and coming right at me, there was a car behind me, a little heavy traffic, coming right at me was a deer, a buck with his head down because it was being chased by hunters who were probably walking through the woods, and this deer just took off down the highway. Boom. And you know what it did? It ran right into me. Boom. Boom. Oh, man. I couldn't slam on my brakes because if I did, I'd have got rear-ended. So I'm one of those people, you get what you pay for. I don't use cheap car insurance. It's not the company, but I only have $100 deductible. $100 deductible. Okay, so I also get a rental car when my car's in the shop. And if it's at a nationwide site, they'll let you have it as long as your car's being worked on. I'm paying for a rental car, you know, in my policy for 30 days, but they'll just extend a courtesy to you. Okay. 8 weeks goes by, and I have a rental car. Finally, the shop calls me, the body shop. It's also one of the approved nationwide shops. Your car's ready. I go with the rental car. Janie takes me over. I pick it up. Looks great. It looks fantastic. They did a great job. Looks brand new. Super job. Clean out the inside, everything. Gorgeous. I had $100 deductible. I only had to pay them $100 because Nationwide paid the rest. And by the way, what was the bill? About $12,005. $12,005. So driving home, I thought the car drove great, but I said, there's no way I'm taking this car on the turnpike or toll roads and going, 78, 80 miles an hour after it got smacked for $12,000. So I got another car. I was afraid I'd have negative equity because of the accident, but the car looks so great. Large dealership said, yeah, we'll pay that car off for you. I didn't have gap insurance, which is something I should have had. So anyway, they paid it off and I got a car with 14,000 miles on it. It looks brand new, drives brand new. And by the way, what's it called? It's called a Chrysler Pinnacle. It's the highest, baby. It has an absolutely drop-dead gorgeous interior. It's all-wheel drive. It's a van, Chrysler Pinnacle. Oh, man. Okay, a short break, and we'll be coming back. And, of course, Janie's coming in with her part of the show and talk a little bit about Las Vegas, Nevada. And maybe some general things as well in terms of slot play. Hang on, everyone.
Hi, everyone. It's Jane. Glad to be back with you at the beginning of a new year. Even though we're a month into it, it's still a new year. And at this time of the year, at least in this part of the country where it's snowy, icy, cold, and we're in the houses, not outside enjoying the outdoors, people think about vacations and make vacation plans. And so some of ours always involve what casinos we're going to visit or what trips are we going to make that would include casinos. And I would advise people who have never done that, maybe try it and you'll see how much fun you can have or how much you really like it, even if you're not a gambler. But to start out, you need to practice some things before you go on vacations and go to casinos like that. You need to have some ground rules. Now, these are mine, and I share some of them with the popular casino magazine. And I got some of my information this time from the magazine. It's just full of information about playing in casinos.
What magazine is that?
That's Casino Player.
Okay.
I think I already said that.
No, I didn't.
Oh, I didn't? Well, we can go back and check. Okay. When you go, first thing you should do if you're going to gamble, you need to set a budget. Some people don't agree with that, but if you don't, you can really get disappointed because you can say, well, I'll just go and get some more money out of the ATM. My one big rule is I never go to the ATM. You know, I set a budget, even if I have to put money in an envelope, and I know a lot of people who do that, but I set a budget and I don't go over it. I would never go back to an ATM to get more money to play. If I'm winning and I win more money, I have the problem of stopping play because I want to use that money to play.
I've heard it said when people do that, when they go to the casinos and they run out of money, they make a walk to the ATM. It's often called the walk of shame.
Right. I think that could be true.
The walk of shame.
Well, but as I said, on the other hand, I know when you win, you like to quit. And you always tell me, okay, it's time to stop now. Okay, it's time to stop now. But I always feel that when I win, well, this is money that is the casino's money, even though it's actually my money now. But I will play off of that money. I'll confess to that. But I don't go back to the ATM. I don't leave with a whole lot less than I came with that way. And then I'm never really too upset with myself anyway. The other thing I would say is if you do go to a casino regularly or have particular games you play, are you a slot player or are you a table game player? Sometimes it might be fun for you to switch and try to learn the table games. Some of them, you know, are a little bit more difficult or appear more difficult than others, or you might have to observe and see how they're played. And most casinos will have some kind of instructions for you if you've never played those games before, like instance, craps. That's a very intimidating looking game, sounding game. But once you learn how to play, it's very much fun, as Fav always tells you.
Well, I think the one game, if you're not aware of how to play blackjack in terms of a perfect basic strategy, don't go to a table with other people in it, because that's the one game where what you do affects other people.
Oh, right.
If you do something so crazy and ridiculous, even if it doesn't mean they lost because of you, they'll still blame you.
Yeah, I think I've found that. Even the dealers, I think, tend to be a little bit accusatory in that game.
Yeah, you know, it's not so hard to find a table with nobody playing it anymore. You know, there's always going to be
right,
a table.
Right. So I find that blackjack is the one game that's the most like that, because you do affect other people by
if you take your card,
does affect their play, right. Whatever. But I just think it's fun for you to learn another game so that you're not always stuck like in a rut saying, I'm just only going to play this game. Now, I think everybody who has luck on certain particular slot machines, like Wheel of Fortune, which is one of the most popular ones, will continue to go back to that.
Yeah,
or,
of course, yeah.
I have to admit, when I'm in certain casinos, and if I'm not doing well, I'll try to find the kitty glitter machine because somehow that always redeems me, gives me some money. I usually have pretty good luck with that game. And so I'm always aware of where those machines might be. But there's so many new games now that I think you might find it fun to go around and look. And you know, if you have a budget, just set a certain amount and say, well, okay, I'm going to put a $20 bill on this particular slot just to try it out, just to see if I like it.
I just want to confess, I've been a table player most of the time, but I also play video poker. But some of the new slot machines are so interesting to look at.
Oh, they're fun. I know, they're interactive. They're fun. You can go on with
it. I mean, really, it's really attractive anymore. And to tell you the truth, the big, big money in casinos is one on slot machines.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's one where, you know, it's a random spin and you spin in the jackpot area. Yeah. Now, some of them will tell you right on them. And it's also good practice to read the top of the machine so you know what can happen. Some will tell you if you don't play maximum bet, you're not going to win certain amounts of money.
Yeah.
Other ones will say that it doesn't matter. So keep that in mind and try some new games. Watch someone playing them for a while just to see what, you know, might appeal to you.
Well, here's something. If you wanted to try games and you don't want to go to an actual table, but you want to play live, not against a computer chip, so many casinos now have like a stadium kind of thing where you go to a screen.
Oh, that's true.
But it's live, so you're not going to bother anybody else by what you do there. You know, you're playing with a live dealer, but it's going out to maybe 60, 70 different screens.
Right. Yeah, there's so much innovation anymore.
There is.
In a casino, it's just not walk-in, have slot machines and table games. No. I mean, there's any variation
somewhere
of them.
Somewhere in between is what you might want to do.
Right. All right. Also, not only check out new games, but check out new locations. I know where we live in Western Pennsylvania, years ago, we could only go to Las Vegas to gamble, and then you could go to Atlantic City.
Yep.
But now you can go to so many states and play. And what we like to do is we like to, let's say you would spend 5 days in Las Vegas on a vacation. And if you don't want to do that again, or you're tired of doing that, you could spend 5 days in Southern Indiana, the state of Indiana. There's three amazing casinos all in a row there that you could enjoy. And we do that. We
like the Holy Trinity. You want to name them?
Well, yes. There's the Hollywood in Lawrenceburg.
Lawrenceburg, Indiana.
Yeah. Then there's the Rising Star in Rising Sun, Indiana. And then there's the Belterra.
In Florence.
In Florence, Indiana, which is right on the cross river from Kentucky.
Yeah, I call that the Holy Trinity of gambling right
there.
Well,
it's so much fun just to visit each one of them and see what they're like. We would spend time. Now, you could stay at just one of them, and then it's just miles between the three of them.
Yeah, I think one thing I'll say about if you do that, they all were riverboats at one time. Now in Indiana, you can have casinos on land. So most of them have riverboats plus land.
Right. They've enlarged. So all their land capacity.
The thing I'll say that's the most consistent is the people are so nice. The people in Southern Indiana.
Oh, and Indiana is known, that's what they're called, the Hoosiers. Yeah. Hoosier hospitality, if you've never heard of it. We've talked about it a lot. But what we do, if we're going for even just 3 days, we will spend 1 day in each different casino. Or at least a morning or an evening, or plan a meal there, because they all have more than one restaurant. They have multiple restaurants. And then above all, visit the little towns they're in.
Oh, especially if you're an antique fan, huh, Jane?
Well, if you just like to do thrift shopping, visit some of their stores or boutiques. They have a lot of them. And they're all different. They're all along the Ohio River, so it's scenic. Two of them have amazing golf courses if you play golf,
yep,
which is another thing you can do when you plan your vacation. Check that out. So I'm just saying that we're talking Southern Indiana. Northern Indiana is just as much fun, and it doesn't border the river, but it borders Lake Michigan.
Well, you, not only do you have the blue chip in Michigan City, Indiana, you also have access to some tribal casinos.
Right, and one is right in South Bend, Indiana now, where the University of Notre Dame and St. Mary's College are. Four Winds in New Buffalo, Michigan, which is right up the road, too. So it's just a lot of fun to do that. And so that's Northern Indiana. You can go to Joliet, Illinois, up the river. Or up the road, up the turnpike.
Up the toll road, they call it.
The toll road. Yeah. And there's a multitude of casinos there, too. You can go to Council Bluffs, Iowa. And there's at least three right there. I mean, you can go almost all across. We have gone all across the country and spent every night in a casino. So they're everywhere now. And they're just so much fun to visit. And one reason is you can get food 24 hours.
I think that's a big
any
factor,
of them.
Because, you know, if you're traveling, and particularly when you go across the Mississippi, in those wide open states, and you stop at a casino, a regular hotel or motel at, say, 7 p.m., they say, well, where can we eat? Well, they say it's another 30 miles down the road. Yeah. So casinos have 24/7 food.
And so that's a big plus.
And safety.
And the safety factor, you know, they have guards everywhere. You may not see them all, but they're there. So we find it much safer to be in a casino. It depends on, of course, how much willpower you have so you don't gamble all your money away. Well, okay, moving on. Well, I've been told I have to hurry up. I only have a couple minutes, but I wanted to bring up some points of entertainment, which is also in casinos. That's a good reason to visit them. And in Las Vegas coming up, Barry Manilow has a lifetime residency at the Westgate. And also at the Westgate, they're going to celebrate Elvis Presley's 90th birthday with a year-long tribute.
Wow.
So if you go...
If he lived his 90th birthday, it'd be coming up.
Yeah, and so all year they're going to be celebrating it with all different features, all different celebrations and promotions. So if you want to, if you're going out there, you could check with the Westgate. Also, MGM Resorts has combined with Marriott, and they have changed the Delano to the W. So it's a W, it's a Marriott hotel. So now the Marriott customers that have Marriott Bonvoy memberships can stay there and earn points there and get rewards there.
Seems like it never stops in Vegas. You know, you think...
No, it never stops. Something's always happening.
If you have a picture of what it was like 3 years ago, it's not like that now.
No, it's not. No. And also, if you haven't been to the updated in Strat, you might want to visit that. It used to be called the Stratosphere. It's now called the Strat. They have a... Vice President, and his name's Skyler Dice, and his name is legitimate. He was always a Dice. But he says, we have some of the best odds in Las Vegas, including our signature crapless craps, originally invented here at the Strat. They have the single zero roulette and the 3-2 double deck blackjack. They have new restaurants, updated restaurants, lots of entertainment, so you might want to go to the Strat.
And one more thing about the Strat, they have the most exciting thrill rides on top of that thing that you can find anywhere in the world.
We've talked about them. They're worldwide. People come from all over the world to ride them. We've visited up on the top. I won't ride them.
Okay, well, you know what time it is? It's time for us to do a little duet here. So I'll start it out by saying...
Oh, I wanted to say one thing.
Go ahead.
The Living Dead are coming back to the Sphere.
Oh, the Grateful Dead's new name, right?
Right. Well, no, it's not called the Living Dead. It's called Dead and Company.
Dead and Company, okay.
They're going to be at the Sphere again this year. So our son-in-law went to see them the first time they came and loved it. And also, my next point is the Sphere. You got to see it, at least from the outside.
Absolutely. Okay, so Casinos USA is still a place where...
Every day is Saturday.
Thanks for listening. See you in a couple weeks. Every day is Saturday at Casinos USA.